Day 430, Tuesday, June 4th, 2 Kings 12 17 to 21, 2 Kings 13 3 to 11, 2 Kings 13 14 to 25, 2 Chronicles 24 15 to 27, 2 Kings 12 17 to 21. NKJV: Hazael king of Syria went up and fought against Gath, and took it. Then Hazael set his face to go up to Jerusalem. And Jehoash king of Judah took all the sacred things that his fathers, Jehoshaphat and Jehoram and Ahaziah, kings of Judah, had dedicated, and his own sacred things, and all the gold found in the treasuries of the house of the Lord and in the king's house, and sent them to Hazael king of Syria. Then he went away from Jerusalem. Now the rest of the acts of Joash, and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? And his servants arose and formed a conspiracy, and killed Joash in the house of the Millo, which goes down to Shelah. For Jozachar the son of Shimeath and Jehozabad the son of Shomer, his servants, struck him. So he died, and they buried him with his fathers in the city of David. Then Amaziah his son reigned in his place. 2 Kings 13 3-11 NKJV: Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Israel, and he delivered them into the hand of Hazael king of Syria, and into the hand of Ben-Hadad the son of Hazael, all their days. So Jehoahaz pleaded with the Lord, and the Lord listened to him, for he saw the oppression of Israel, because the king of Syria oppressed them. Then the Lord gave Israel a deliverer, so that they escaped from under the hand of the Syrians, and the children of Israel dwelt in their tents as before. Nevertheless, they did not depart from the sins of the house of Jeroboam, who had made Israel sin, but walked in them, and the wooden image also remained in Samaria. For he left of the army of Jehoahaz only 50 horsemen, 10 chariots, and 10,000 foot soldiers, for the king of Syria had destroyed them and made them like the dust at threshing. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoahaz, all that he did, and his might, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? So Jehoahaz rested with his fathers, and they buried him in Samaria. Then Joash his son reigned in his place. In the 37th year of Joash king of Judah, Jehoash the son of Jehoahaz became king over Israel in Samaria, and reigned 16 years, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not depart from all the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who made Israel sin, but walked in them. 2 Kings 13 14-25 NKJV: Elisha had become sick with the illness of which he would die. Then Joash the king of Israel came down to him, and wept over his face, and said, O my father, the chariots of Israel and their horsemen. And Elisha said to him, Take a bow and some arrows. So he took himself a bow and some arrows. Then he said to the king of Israel, Put your hand on the bow. So he put his hand on it, and Elisha put his hands on the king's hands. And he said, Open the east window, and he opened it. Then Elisha said, Shoot, and he shot. And he said, The arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for you must strike the Syrians at Aphek till you have destroyed them. Then he said, Take the arrows. So he took them. And he said to the king of Israel, Strike the ground. So he struck 3 times, and stopped. And the man of God was angry with him, and said, You should have struck 5 or 6 times, then you would have struck Syria till you had destroyed it. But now you will strike Syria only 3 times. Then Elisha died, and they buried him. And the raiding bands from Moab invaded the land in the spring of the year. So it was, as they were burying a man, that suddenly they spied a band of raiders, and they put the man in the tomb of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood on his feet. And Hazael king of Syria oppressed Israel all the days of Jehoahaz. But the Lord was gracious to them, had compassion on them, and regarded them, because of his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and would not yet destroy them or cast them from his presence. Now Hazael king of Syria died. Then Ben-Hadad his son reigned in his place. And Yehoash the son of Jehoahaz recaptured from the hand of Ben-Hadad, the son of Hazael, the cities which he had taken out of the hand of Jehoahaz his father by war. Three times Joash defeated him and recaptured the cities of Israel. 2 Chronicles 24:15-27 NKJV. But Jehoiada grew old and was full of days, and he died. He was 130 years old when he died. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings, because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and his house. Now after the death of Jehoiada, the leaders of Judah came and bowed down to the king. And the king listened to them. Therefore they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers, and served wooden images and idols, and wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem because of their trespass. Yet he sent prophets to them, to bring them back to the Lord, and they testified against them, but they would not listen. Then the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah the son of Jehoiada the priest, who stood above the people, and said to them, Thus says God, Why do you transgress the commandments of the Lord, so that you cannot prosper? Because you have forsaken the Lord, he also has forsaken you. So they conspired against him, and at the command of the king they stoned him with stones in the court of the house of the Lord. Thus Joash the king did not remember the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done to him, but killed his son, and as he died, he said, The Lord look on it, and repay. So it happened in the spring of the year that the army of Syria came up against him, and they came to Judah and Jerusalem, and destroyed all the leaders of the people from among the people, and sent all their spoil to the king of Damascus. For the army of the Syrians came with a small company of men, but the Lord delivered a very great army into their hand, because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. So they executed judgment against Joash. And when they had withdrawn from him, for they left him severely wounded, his own servants conspired against him because of the blood of the sons of Jehoiada the priest, and killed him on his bed. So he died, and they buried him in the city of David, but they did not bury him in the tombs of the kings. These are the ones who conspired against him, Zabad the son of Shimeath the Ammonitess, and Jehozabad the son of Shimrith the Moabites. Now concerning his sons, and the many oracles about him, and the repairing of the house of God, indeed they are written in the annals of the book of the kings. Then Amaziah his son reigned in his place. Daily Deep Dive, the UCG reading plan states, In Judah, Judah's leaders once again depart from the truth. Jehoiada had provided a great deal of strength and encouragement. The nation respected the results of his work. But as is so often the case, the other leaders didn't appreciate the means to that end, obedience to God, and soon sank back into idolatry. Again, God took action to show them how wrong they were. He had warned them through Moses about what would happen, Leviticus 26:17. Compare verse 8. The really sad part of the story is that of King Joash. From the time he came to the throne as a 7-year-old boy, Jehoiada had been almost an adoptive father to him, even having chosen his wives, 2 Chronicles 24:3. And Joash had done so well in restoring proper worship in Judah. Yet he comes across as a man of weak character. As long as Jehoiada lived, he followed the Lord. But with the priest gone, the king was just as easily led into sin. The measure of our children's character is not how they behave while they are at home, but the choices they make after they leave. Bible Reader's Companion, note on verse 17. Incredibly, the king, who had been like a son to Jehoiada, ended up killing Jehoiada's actual son for giving advice he didn't like. This was his own cousin, 2 Chronicles 22:11, 2 Chronicles 24:20. This once good king had sunk to the level of his evil grandmother Athaliah, See 2 Chronicles 22:10. Despite decades of past faithfulness to God, Nelson Study Bible, note on verse 24. This should serve as a warning to us all. In the end, Joash was murdered. But he was excluded from the royal cemetery because he fell far short of the Davidic ideal. See 2 Chronicles 21:20. Ironically, Jehoiada, who was not a king at all, was buried among the kings because of his faithfulness to God and to God's chosen king. V. 16, same note. There are other examples in scripture of apostasy following the removal of an influential righteous figure. The apostle Paul, for instance, knew that apostasy would follow his own death. And sadly, this pattern has persisted. In Israel, while Joash was starting to rebuild the temple in Judah, Jehoahaz was coming to the throne in Israel. But his rule was nothing like what was happening in Judah. Jehoahaz continued in the sins of Jeroboam, as Jehu had. The reduction of Israel's power as divine punishment was severe. See 2 Kings 13:7. A far cry from the time when Ahab alone could muster 2,000 chariots for the allied forces at Karkar, the Expositor's Bible Commentary, note on verse 7. The next king of Israel was Jehoash, or Joash, and he too persisted in wrongdoing. In 2 Kings 13:14, Jehoash's cry over the aged Elisha repeats the words of Elisha spoken when Elijah was taken up to heaven, 2 Kings 2:12. Thus, both at the beginning of his ministry and at its conclusion, Elisha is unmistakably linked to his mentor Elijah. The grief of Jehoash at the impending death of Elisha shows that, like his father Jehoahaz, CVV 4:5, this Israelite king possessed some genuine spirituality. The line of Jehu had its good moments and received some reward from the Lord. See 2 Kings 10:30. However, none of this line or any other of the kings of Israel served God with all their heart. See 2 Kings 10:31. Nelson, note on 2 Kings 13:14. A slightly different take on Jehoash's grief is explained of the Bible reader's companion. Even the wicked king Jehoash wept at the death of Elisha, but only because he was a national resource, the equivalent of a chariot army. Yet even this cry shows a lack of faith. Elisha died, or, at this point, was dying. But God lived, a point illustrated by the miracle of Elisha's bones. Let's not make the mistake of trusting in God's ministers, and not in God, note on verse 16. Elisha's last signs. Before his death, Elisha asked Jehoash to shoot an arrow and then to strike some arrows on the ground. This section describes a symbolic act that Elisha had Joash perform to ensure victories over his enemies. The king was only partly successful in completing the task. Elisha's symbolic act of putting his hands on the king's hands should have alerted the king that the aged prophet was conveying a divine blessing on him. Jehoash's half-hearted compliance with Elisha's instructions exposed his weak faith and illustrated God's unfavorable evaluation of his character. 2 Kings 13:11. God's dying prophet was rightly disturbed. Although God would allow Israel to defeat the Aramean army 3 times, their victory would be incomplete. Nelson, note on verses 15 to 19. After this, Elisha died. But the miracles associated with him didn't stop. God had one more dramatic sign, the raising of a dead man who came in contact with Elisha's remains. There was no magic in Elisha's bones, but a demonstration of the power of God associated with his servant. Note on 2 Kings 13:21. The juxtaposition of this event with the account that precedes it makes it clear that herein was another divinely intended sign for Jehoash in Israel. God was the God of the living, not the dead, cf. Luke 20:38, not only for Elisha, who would one day be resurrected, and the man who had, now, been restored to life, but for Israel as well. Israel could yet live if she would but appropriate the eternally living God as her own. The entire episode was, further, a corroborative sign that what Elisha had prophesied would certainly come to pass. Only a living God could guarantee such a thing. Cf. Isa 44, Expositors, note on 2 Kings 13:21. This miracle should have reassured Yehoash that God intended to rescue Israel from the deadly grip of Aramean domination. Cv. 25, Nelson, note on verse 21. In accordance with Yehoash's striking the ground three times with arrows, 2 Kings 13:18, God gave Yehoash victory over the Arameans only three times. Yet God graciously overruled Yehoash's inadequate faith by granting Israel full victory over the Arameans during the reign of his son Jeroboam II, note on verse 25. And, 2 Kings 12, verse 21, it seems that the conspirators did not desire power and control, as Joash's son takes over the reign after his father was murdered. We will see in 2 Chronicles 24 their motivation for killing him. 2 Kings 13, verse 5, the Cambridge Bible Commentary states, the expression may refer to the peaceful state when the dwellers in the country could live safely out amid their flocks and crops, and not be constrained by the pressure of war to seek refuge in the towns. But it has been noted, see on 1 Key_8:66, that tents is used for homes. Hence the words of this verse may mean only that the people lived quietly at home, and were not constantly called forth to resist the inroads of the Syrians. Verse 14, the Adam Clark commentary describes, what shall I do now thou art dying? Thou art the only defense of Israel. He accosts him with the same words which himself spoke to Elijah when he was translated. See 2 Kings_2:12, note, and the note there. Even in God's church we are sad when a faithful servant dies. Some are discouraged when a faithful member is allowed to get sick and die, but we must all remember that this life is not the goal. It has to end. The goal is God's kingdom and our spiritual bodies. I'm comforted by the hope contained in Isaiah 57:1-2, the righteous perishes, and no man takes it to heart. Merciful men are taken away, while no one considers that the righteous is taken away from evil. He shall enter into peace, they shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. Verse 23, I love to see and be reminded of the merciful faithfulness of God. God continued time and time again to be merciful to Israel, not because of anything they had done, but because of the relationship God had with Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, and his faithfulness to the promises he made to them. Amazing. 2 Chronicles 24, verse 19, notice how long-suffering and patient God is. Judah departs from God and is sinning greatly, and God sends them prophets to tell them to get back on track over and over. God wants to help us, however, God won't force obedience.